The Sand Geeks. We are the Sand Geeks.
Hello, geeks. Welcome to the Sand Geeks. This is episode 97 now. We are only three away from the big 100. And we might have something in store for you on that, but news on that later. Anyway, before we get into the bulk of the podcast, I must shout out our lovely, lovely sponsor. Don't forget, you can go to kajalperfumes.com and you can use the code GEEKS10 and you'll get 10% off. Go and check them out. I've actually been wearing one of their fragrances this week, which I'll mention later on. But yeah, great fragrances. And don't forget, if you stay tuned at the end, we'll mention the giveaway that is carried out through Instagram, so we'll shout out that and give you the details how to enter. Anyway, I'm not alone, thank God. I am just one half or even one third of the hosting trio this week, because there's three of us, which is really exciting. So there's me, I'm Steve, I'm from Frags to Riches, and then I've got, as always, Chris from the YouTube channel Fragmental. Chris, hello, how are you?
Hello, Steve. Yeah, you're always pleased when I don't tell you 2 days before that I can't make it.
Yeah, that always helps.
Or even an hour before,
yes.
Like last week.
Yeah, last week, Chris nearly didn't make it and come in last minute, so that was helpful. But I'm excited because you don't get to listen to our dulcet tones alone this week. We have a YouTuber with over 75,000 subscribers. This person also has an Instagram account with over 21,000 followers, and they've recently started a website called SokiLondon.com, which kind of gives it away who it is, really. I should have spoiled it there. Spoiler alert. Please join us in welcoming Sophie to our podcast. Hello, Sophie.
Hey,
welcome.
Hello.
How
are you doing?
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you for joining us. Now, I'm going to admit something, right? Before I sort of, when I just saw your YouTube channel and stuff, I did assume your name was Soki. Have you had that before?
Absolutely, yeah. It's definitely my online alias. My last name is actually King, so I guess it's a bit of a mashup between Sophie King, Soki.
Yeah,
I just made it up.
I sort of cracked it, because it's only when I think I saw you on Instagram that your name on Instagram, it says like Sophie King. I was I see what she's done there. So yeah.
Yeah, I think there is a Sophie King author and also a Sophie King that went to the same uni as me that sued the council because their high heel got caught in a grate. So I didn't really want that coming up on Google.
Whoa,
it wasn't me.
Love that random information. That is,
yeah.
I like that. So do you get people like saying like, oh, hey Soki, how you doing, or whatever, on your comments? Do people, or
yeah, definitely, yeah. I don't mind, you know. I'm pretty flexible, and it's quite cool to have, you know, a different name on the internet too in real life.
An online alias name. Yeah,
yeah.
It sort of separates it a little bit. I'm sure.
I mean, you're quite lucky. I mean, I've been called a lot worse than Soki. I tell you, on my YouTube channel, I get all sorts. So yeah, I'm sure your subscribers are a lot nicer than the people that watch some of my videos. But but anyway, we are going to kind of interview you in a little bit, if that's cool. We're going to find out more about you, kind of how you got into this. Obviously, we're going to talk about fragrances and perfumes and things, which is really exciting. Mm-hmm. But before we kind of get into that, we'll get through some of the usual kind of admin stuff, and we want you to get involved in that. So if there's any questions and stuff, we'll come to you and get your input. But we kind of chat about like, oh, what we've been up to this week. But I actually had a message on Instagram this week saying, oh, you know, I think you've sort of deviated from the usual format. It takes 15 minutes sometimes before you talk about fragrances. So I was like, I think the problem of this podcast is we've never changed the format. I'd say that's probably a weakness, to be honest, that it's always been the same. We need to kind of change it up a bit, which is why we started getting guests. So
yeah, at some point in every podcast, we always end up saying, oh, I guess we should talk about fragrances now. But I mean, the whole point is it's just a couple of mates having a chat. And most of the time that is for fragrance. But sometimes we just like to ask each other how we've been doing and how our weeks have been, because we've usually got an interesting story or two to tell, haven't we, Stu?
Yeah. Sophie, do you have many fragrance friends? Like, many of your girly friends into like perfume? Do they come to you? Do you chat with them about it, or do they like? Because we've often discussed it's quite a lonely hobby because it's a bit of a weird thing to be into sometimes. So.
Yeah, it's a bit niche, isn't it? I think, no, I don't think I do have any sort of friends who I sort of chat to fragrances about. I mean, people ask me if they want a new one, you know, what to get and stuff. But I, that's why I think the internet's so great, right? Because even if you're into something that's relatively niche, you can find thousands of other people that are into that same thing as you across the world. Yeah. So I do find that some of the comments people put on YouTube videos are like really interesting, and I get a lot of video ideas from that as well. Like people come up with really good ideas. So yeah, chatting about perfume, but only ever virtually, really.
that's kind of cool though. It's and this is why we sort of we've discussed this on the podcast, that this is really just a couple of mates getting together chatting about it, and loads of our listeners have said it's quite nice because they don't have. Their friends aren't into it, and sometimes it's a bit of a weird hobby to kind of like come out to your friends to. It's a bit weird. It's like, oh, I'm actually into fragrances, and people are like, what's that all about? So a lot of people like listen to the podcast for that reason, because they feel like they can listen to a couple of sort of friends in inverted commas kind of chatting about fragrance. So it's quite a nice little outlet for them. So right, shall we go into the audience recognition section and see what the people are saying there? So we call this ARS for short, just because we're funny like that. So we've not had too much other than we've had quite a few people, quite a few listeners shouting us out because recently Spotify did the Year Unwrapped or something. So it is basically a little bit of a breakdown of what people have been listening to. And quite a few people shouted us out because we were their number one podcast, which is lovely. So yeah, thank you to those people. Yeah. So thank Chris Carter posted, he's Spotify Unwrapped revealing his Uber Geek status, that we were his number one podcast. He listened to 42 episodes for a total of 2,111 minutes. Oh my Christ! That man deserves a medal.
Wow! How many minutes does that mean we've spent recording the podcast then, Steve? Over 97 episodes.
Andrus has sorry if I've mispronounced your name, but Andrus has also shared his Spotify Unwrapped. He's listened to 55 episodes for a total of 2,752 minutes, so thank you. I also had a few people message me. I think they tagged us on Instagram. So I think it might have been Johnny Jordan messaged me. I think he was one. Christina was another one. Christina Key Sense on Instagram. She kind of tagged me. So we've had quite a few people say thank you, everybody, for being so dedicated and listening to our podcast. We love you for that. There is, I'll come back to this one actually, Chris, because was there a review that you said as well?
We do. We have a review, and this is from a listener all the way in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
Wow.
That's a remote part of the world. So, wow, that's pretty cool that we've got a listener. The title of the review is Centrifugal Force, or is it Centrifugal? Is it Centrifugal.
Yeah,
Centrifugal Force. There's someone's got to have that channel name.
Yeah,
we always talk about channel name puns, and yeah, that's...
There is definitely a centrifugal force, yeah.
I thought there must be. Yeah. So, the review goes, I look forward to every Monday, not because I adore my job, but because the geeks fill my earbuds with frag-related banter. Keep on doing your thing, boys. You're complex enough for the fragheads, yet approachable and fresh for the muggles. Cheers from Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. So, thanks for that lovely five-star review.
Oh, awesome. That's so nice. Thank you. We've had a couple of other comments that I'll just shout out on the Facebook group. So don't forget, you can go and join the Scent Geeks podcast Facebook group, and you could kind of get involved and suggest things, ask us stuff, or you could complain if you want, but it'd probably fall on deaf ears. So Jonathan Moe, I think, Chrissy, I think you got back to him. He sort of tagged you because he said he heard you mention Sturcus. My friend Kirsten Capellino and I discovered that Twisted Lily in 2019. It's so good. Did you know that Sturcus is Latin for feces? In fact, if you open up the box all the way, there is an anus drawn inside. Creepy. Nevertheless, it smells great. To me, it smells like woody cinnamon raisin toast. I think, did you reply to that, Chris? Somebody did. I saw. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, yeah. I did reply saying that, I knew, I had read that Sturcus meant feces. And they're a fun, sort of slightly mischievous, tongue-in-cheek brand. So they do like to have a little bit of fun, I think, with the fragrance and the fragrance names. I've got the box here. I'm just going to see if I can show you the anus, if I can find it.
I mean, on an audio format,
mate.
It is the
ARS section.
The audio format, mate. Our listeners are really going to like, really want to see that. They're going to enjoy seeing that box.
Well, they'll hear your reactions.
Yeah, they'll see your reactions.
I can't find the anus. Oh, no. Look, no. It's a big old hairy one right in the middle. Look at that.
Oh, no. Is it not just one of those psychiatric pictures where you have to interpret what it is?
Oh, my God.
I mean, you would think that, but you could also think it looks like a big hairy a-hole, but
we've got a lovely lady on the podcast, and we're trying to be all sophisticated, and you get out your hairy anus, Chris. I'm disappointed. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a good job we're not doing this live on YouTube.
Yeah, that is very true. Thank you for Jonathan. He's kind of shouted us out a few times. So I think that's mostly it. Is there anything else that anybody reached out to you at all, Chris?
I think that's it. I think that's everything. Yeah, that's it. And apologies, that Nova Scotia review was dropped a few weeks ago, actually. But for some reason, the reviews don't seem to come through in order all the time. Anyway, we've read it out now, so it's good.
Okay, no worries. Thank you. Right, so next up, we've got what you've been wearing. So I'm going to... Well, I tell you what, while Sophie's thinking, so normally this bit, we just kind of shout out fragrances we've been wearing this week, if there's, you know, anything that sort of stood out to you or you've enjoyed particularly. So I'll give you some thinking time, and I will ask Chris first. So Chris, what have you been wearing this week, my friend?
So I wore for the first time in a little while Fahrenheit, Dior Fahrenheit Le Parfum.
Oh, Le Parfum version, okay.
Yeah, do you remember I bought that because we were talking about
Didn't we do it on here? I thought we both got samples and we both smelt it. Yeah, we got the EDT.
Well, you got samples.
Yeah, you obviously, high roller. Chris went and bought a bottle straight out of Blind Buy. So I've
fancied having a bottle of it, really. So yeah, so I've worn that. That's nice. So that's sort of a bit more vanilla-y and boozy than the original Fahrenheit. I've been wearing three new ones from Fragrance de Bois. Called Cavort, Secret Tryst, and PM. The PM one stands for Producer Michael, because he's a massive... Yes. He's got a big YouTube channel. He's a big famous producer. He's an English guy, but he lives in the States. He's got this like mansion, and he's got so many expensive fragrance to bath fragrances. So he's done a collaboration with that brand, and it's very good, actually. It's a great fragrance.
He was the guy that didn't know what oud was, wasn't it? He's got all these fragrances of Brian, and he was kind of going, oh, this is a really good one, this is like oud, and the kind of interview was like, oh, so what's oud? He was like, it's really good, it's just really good to have in a fragrance. He just didn't know what oud was. It was kind of styled it out a little bit, didn't he?
I mean, that it sort of highlights these luxury brands that have a very high price point. They are targeting people who have a lot of money and don't really care too much about what they're buying. As long as it costs a lot of money, then they feel like they're buying something that, you know, that is worth their money. They're very good. I've worn I wore Smolder yesterday, which I enjoyed because it was a cool day, so that worked well. And I'm currently wearing Herod from Parfum de Marly. I just had a little, you know, sometimes you have a little craving for a fragrance that you really love. I was just in a Herod mood this evening, so I've got lovely Herod fumes. Good scent bubble all around me right now.
Yeah,
who's next, Steve?
let's ask Sophie. So, have you reviewed anything this week or been wearing anything that you particularly enjoyed that you wanted to mention? Anything, any highlights?
Yeah, well, I bought the sample set of the new Estee Lauder luxury collection, Small Wonders. They've released 8 new fragrances in their luxury collection, and I was really attracted by the packaging and the branding, which is all like pastely and quite ethereal and watery and stuff. So I thought they were going to be quite fresh, but trying them all out, there were some really intense fragrances in there. There was one that was really majoring on like an orris root, very unusual, with a lavender. There was one that was like super spicy, so it just wasn't what I expected from the way that it had been marketed, so that was quite interesting. And they were all Eau de Parfum, and they were all pretty strong as well. So that was really fun to just try out the different ones and get the little sample set. I think around Christmas a lot of these brands come out with these sample sets, don't they, which they don't usually have during the year. So I always try and get them while they're there over Christmas. I wish they did them all year.
I'm a bit of a, I was talking to someone recently about, I think it might have been that other podcast that we won't mention, but was talking about sort of packaging. Like, I'm a bit of a sucker for packaging. Like, I sort of buy into the whole getting the bottle, open it up. It's you don't get the same when you just get like a decan or a little sample from someone. I enjoy sniffing it, but it loses that sort of, it's not quite as special when you get the whole bottle and you open it up and there's a packaging and I'm
especially
a
bit if there's an anus on the inside.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, that is, there's the highlight. But sometimes we discussed, I mean, you'll notice on this podcast, Sophie, that Chris and I certainly don't know much about women's fragrances, so we'll probably keep bringing it back to men's ones, any ones you mentioned. But Prada one, the ocean one, so what is it,
it's Luna Rossa
Ocean, that completely fooled me because it's got a lot of iris in it and I was really surprised. I thought it was going to be really I mean, it is got some aquatic notes in there, but the iris completely like blindsided me. I wasn't expecting it at all. I thought it was going to be super like fresh, aquatic, salty, and it's just the iris. I was like, what's that doing there? It just completely threw me. So I was really sort of surprised by that, and sometimes you can be, I think you've sometimes for the best and sometimes for the worst, you can kind of build something up in your head or you have expectations of what it might smell like and then it's not. So it can work for or against sometimes. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Anything else you've smelled this week or reviewed? No, just giving you opportunity.
Well, I finally bit the bullet and bought the Erin Hibiscus Palm fragrance, which I've wanted for a few years now.
Okay.
But they're very pricey and I decided to just go for it and treat myself, and that's like a coconutty one. And the reason why I decided is because I always spray it when I go into department stores and stuff. And I had done that and I was getting compliments from different sales assistants. I went to the Apple store and even the guy working there mentioned that it smelled good. So I thought, oh, it's worth the money then. So treating myself to that little early Christmas present for me.
Good for you. I think when you've wanted something for a few years and you feel like, you know, you've been working hard, and I think the time comes where you just go, enough's enough. It's time I own this fragrance. If you love it and you still, like if it's just an impulsive thing, like suddenly you want it and then you forget about it. But if it's something that's in the back of your mind for years, then I think, definitely, you should definitely pick those fragrances.
And also, you know it's a safe buy. If you've been doing it for a couple of years, you keep wearing it and you still enjoy it 2 years later or whatever, it's like, that's definitely what... Can I ask sort of how I'm unfamiliar with this, so sort of what sort of price tag is it at?
I think the 100ml it's like 130 about. I got it on a Black Friday offer.
That's a good shout. That's a good shout.
But yeah, so it's sort of more expensive than a Chanel or something.
Yeah.
But it lasts better, in my opinion.
Yeah. It's all relative as well with fragrances. We've discussed this a few times, but I remember back in the day when I first got into it, I spending £20 or £30 on a fragrance, and now I'm slowly creeping up, and I've got a few niche that sort of that sort of touch, 100, 130 or whatever. And it's funny, and when you speak to people that aren't into this hobby, and like my friend at work who I used to work with, I sort of mentioned one. She's like, how much is that? And it wasn't even, it was a designer. It was like £60 or £70. So it wasn't particularly high end. And she was like, 60 or 70 quid? No way am I paying that. It was just kind of like, you sort of lose, you know, it's all relative to kind of what you're into really. And obviously how much you're willing to pay on these sort of things. So,
Speaking of that, Steve, what basic fragrances have you been wearing this week?
I've had a couple of niche this week. So Sophie probably doesn't know, but I sort of call myself a basic bitch because I typically like quite simple sort of designer fragrances, but I've gone a bit Christmassy this week. I've been wearing a couple of sort of Christmassy, spicy type little numbers. So
Burberry London?
No, surprisingly not. Actually, I don't own that. I think I did, and I don't know if I sold it. I need to get that back. You know, today I wore Spice Bomb from Victor and Rolf. That's the original EDT. That's still kind of my favourite, I think. To be honest, I think Extreme is still really good, definitely lasts better, but there's something, I just enjoy that sweet bubble gumminess from the original Spice
Bomb. I still haven't picked up Spice Bomb, but I mentioned it in a video this week. Have you smelled infrared yet?
Yes.
Right, because yes, that has got that original Spice Bond.
It smelled very similar to the original. I smelt it a week before last, actually, in store, and I was surprised because it smelled very similar to the original. I didn't sort of break it down enough in my head, really, but I thought it smelled quite similar. And my wife still loves Flower Bomb as well. It's Flower Bomb, isn't it? Yeah, the girly one.
As a pair, don't they?
Yeah. Do you like much from Victor and Rolf, Sophie? Have you tried Flower Bomb and stuff? Or?
Yeah, I actually have a Flower Bomb hand cream I'm using at the moment. I'm putting it on before I go to bed, and it's very impressive. Like, I can smell it. I think I even dream about Flower Bomb and stuff. So it's stronger than a lot of fragrances. Hey,
that's a great advert for it. If you want to dream about Flower Bombs, put on the hand cream before me.
It's incredibly strong, yeah.
So that'd be quite a good to put on as like a little base layer. If you put a little bit like as a moisturiser around your neck or something before you spray some, you'll probably get amazing performance from 100%. Flower Bomb. So I have to remember that. It's my wife's favourite at the minute.
Exactly. There's a Christmas present for you.
Yeah, exactly. I tell you another.
I was gonna say I like the Flower Bomb that had the gunpowder fragrance though in it. I don't know, maybe it was Extreme or it was a purple coloured bottle, and it had this gunpowder note in it. It was really unusual, really nice.
Oh, wow, that's cool. I don't know about that. For others, I've worn another one. I wore a fragrance twice this week. I've mentioned this before. I don't know the last time this happened to you two, where you wear a fragrance and you enjoy it so much, you think, I'm going to wear that again. So I did. And it's a fragrance that every time I wear it, I always forget how good it is and regret not wearing it more often. And it's Hafez 1984 from Alexandria. So really, really enjoyed it. I actually got a little compliment as well from someone. It wasn't unsolicited, because I did kind of go, well, what do you think to this? And they were like, oh, no, that's really nice. So it wasn't out of nowhere. But yeah, really enjoyed that. That apparently smells like, I think it gets compared to Carlisle, I think. But on Fragrantia, it gets compared a lot to Mancera's Red Tobacco. Have you smelled that, Chris, Red Tobacco?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I mean, they're all sort of the same genre of fragrance. Yeah, they're all that sort of sweet tobacco style scent. They are quite similar. There's differences, but yeah, they're all fairly similar.
Have you smelled much from Mancera, Sophie?
No, I don't think so. I'm not very good with the names. If I recognise the branding, then I might recognise it, but.
There's one my wife's, it's like a niche brand, but it's sort of quite affordable, I guess you would say. But my wife's currently wearing Juicy Flowers, which I think you might like.
Nice that's name. Sort of,
yeah, and the name pretty much gives it away. It's got some like berries in there, so give and florals. Mm. So the name's pretty much a giveaway on that. Just quickly then, because I'm dragging this out, I've worn Leighton. I've really enjoyed that, and I've worn that. Obviously, it's one of my favourites. So I've whopped out the vintage 2011 batch of Le Nuit de l'Homme, and I wore Kajal Homme as well from our sponsors. So I really enjoyed that. So there we go. Mixed up a little bit, a couple of niche in there, just so I'm not too much of a basic bitch.
Good lads.
Yeah, there we go. Right, so that's kind of what we've been wearing. So shall we kind of move on and start asking Sophie some things? Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Sure.
I guess my sort of first question, it's more of an opening kind of gambit really, Sophie. Do you want to kind of tell us a bit about you, really, like your background, like where you're from maybe, and yeah, any of that sort of stuff as a little intro for those people that maybe don't know you, even though you're, you know, obviously very successful. Yeah. But
well, so I'm originally from Northern England, Lancashire, small town up there. Left when I was 18, and I now live in London. I've been here sort of about 9 years. I live in South London, and I essentially got into fragrances when I got a job as a student working in like a perfumery, an independent perfumery.
Oh, cool.
I was just walking around my local town looking for job adverts in the window. I had got a job in a cake shop, but was fired after a day because I was so useless.
You smell good,
luckily it's good. Yeah, luckily that was good. So, and I saw this and I thought, oh, that's, you know, I was just looking for a sort of student minimum wage type job, and I thought, gosh, working in a perfumery must be one of the best like shop jobs you can have.
It's better than McDonald's, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I ended up working there sort of 6, sometimes 7 days a week for just over a year. And it was just me and the owner, who was a lady who was very experienced. She'd had the shop for decades. She knew everything about every perfume, and she just taught me everything, really. By the time I left, I could name every perfume that the shop sold, which was literally everything that ever came out, and what size everything came in, and how much every size was, and what body products there were. And I just ended up like all my memory was used up on perfumes and stuff. So and even though I'd always loved perfumes before that, I'd always had different ones, and I really loved the bottles when I was younger and everything. You know, you just don't know unless you educate yourself in it. There's so much to perfumery that you just don't know about. And yeah, it just really sparked an interest in me. And then after, when I left, I moved to London and got a more corporate job, I wanted to carry on. So I've always stayed up to date with new releases, and I'm always being annoying, hanging around the Selfridges or Harrods and the different department stores, smelling new ones. So that sort of inspired me to make my channel and like share that knowledge with everyone else, sort of demystify women's fragrance, really.
Yeah, that's really cool. And how long have you been doing social media?
Yeah, I'm not sure. People ask me that, and I don't know. It feels like forever, but I think maybe about 3 years on YouTube. But I think when I first started, I didn't do very many videos, and they were really embarrassing and awful. But I think I've been doing it really regularly, about 2 years, like in a more serious fashion.
Oh, that's cool. Somebody asked me that recently, actually, like, how long have you been doing it? I just didn't know. I was like, is it 2 years, 3 years? It sort of all just blurs in, and it's not like obviously you do videos regularly, it sort of just all becomes one, really. So but that's cool. And did you do Instagram at the same time as YouTube as well? Did you, or did that sort of follow later, or was it before? Or
I was kind of doing Instagram before, you know, just for me, really. And that sort of followed on at the same time, but I tend to put all my focus into YouTube, really, over Instagram. And I tend to use Instagram more to look at, you know, fashion, lifestyle, and other things beyond perfume as well.
You share a lot of your traveling content, don't you, on Instagram?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's my main hobby. I'm trying to go to every country in the world, so I find that the best pictures are usually when I'm abroad, so they go on Instagram.
And your channel's grown really well, hasn't it? Because you're what are you, 75,000? Yeah. Is it? Yeah. Which is,
yeah, I just got a little gift from YouTube saying, "Hey, 75k in a little."
Hey, cool. That's great. So just tell our listeners, you know, to hit 75,000, would you say that it was easy to get that, or, you know, has a lot of work had to go into your channel to reach that number of subscribers?
Yeah, I mean, you'll know what it's like, Chris. It's YouTube rewards hard work, and I think so many people start all social media and think it will just happen overnight, and they'll sort of put effort in for a month and nothing happens and get frustrated. And yeah, absolutely, the first sort of 6-9 months when I started doing videos, I was getting like 20 views or 100 views. I remember the first time I went over 1,000 views, and I couldn't believe 1,000 people had watched a video. So it's definitely takes a hard graft, and I guess a sense of like belief that if you keep going, more people will get shown it by YouTube, and it will keep going. Though interestingly, my videos are mainly watched by non-subscribers. I think it's only about 20% of viewers are subscribed. So
interesting.
If you're watching but you're not subscribed, then make sure you subscribe so I can get that badge at 100k.
it's
really annoying when you've got all these subscribers, and then, like you say, most of the people that are watching aren't. It's like, if you subscribed, I'd be like double the number.
What value do you put in consistency of uploads? Do you think that's an important factor for the growth of a channel?
I do, yeah, definitely. I think also having lots of evergreen content as well, so content that's still relevant a year later, 2 years later, because I find with some of my videos, they don't do very well at first, but over time, they'll suddenly start picking up. And, you know, the mysteries of the YouTube algorithm, how, I don't know how it works, but I try and when I'm in, doing a video talking, I try and think about not just today, but someone watching it in a year's time, try and keep it useful and like always try and keep it as evergreen as possible. Like keep in mind that some people are in the southern hemisphere as well, so you know it's not they're having summer, not winter right now, so it must be frustrating for them to, you know, get loads of winter videos when they're in the heat wave.
It's interesting you mentioned that. It's one of the things we were just talking before we started recording, that we like how YouTube works, that if you're consistent and you upload valuable content, the growth is upward, which is great as long as you put in the work in. But also I like the idea that you could make a popular video tomorrow, and in 3-4 years time, that is still in the background, earning you that AdSense, getting you those views, helping your channel grow and helping people discover your channel. So I really like the idea of just planting one of those, filming the video, and then knowing that, you know, it's behind you, but it's still working for you. It's something really nice about YouTube doing that.
The beauty of YouTube, I think.
I can see some of it, because I know you do a lot of the sort of house overviews, or the range, for example, like where there's like different flankers. I can imagine they're like one of those evergreen ones, because there's going to be people in a year's time go, I really want to get, Mongolan, for example. And then they're like, oh, there's quite a few Mongolan intents. There's different ones. Yeah. Like, which one is it? And then so they can then find your video and you discuss the differences between them. So I can imagine they're like one of those definitely evergreen type videos that sort of really work.
Yeah, definitely. Though so many new flankers come out all the time. The number of times I do a range video and then a week later they release a new version, I'm like, great, no longer relevant. But yeah, definitely. And I think often if people are looking at sites that like Perfume Click or Fragrance Net in America that sell perfumes that are like discontinued, or like most places don't stock anymore, they might be searching to find out, you know, what does that smell like? So an older video might be relevant there as well.
Makes sense. Sophie, before I forget, I'm just jumping around a little bit because we started talking about fragrance, so people are going to shoot me. But I think potentially we may share a little hobby, because I just saw on your Instagram once that you were going to a salsa class. So have you sort of stuck at that? Was it a one-off? Do you do it regularly?
Steve's been stalking your Instagram, so
researching the guest, Chris. Researching the guest so I can come informed.
You call it that, that's fine.
Very good, Steve. Very good. I haven't really. One of my friends is really into Spanish culture, and he dragged me along, and I did enjoy it. I used to do a lot of dancing when I was younger, but I found it a bit weird when you have to pair up with strangers and stuff. I found it quite awkward.
It's even weirder now, what with COVID. It's a very strange concept.
So, but I did do another class that was outdoors and you didn't partner up. Yeah. So I enjoyed that. But it's really tricky to get the rhythm right and everything. But it is very satisfying when you do it correctly. Yeah, but I feel for the guys on Strictly Come Dancing, you know, it looks way easier than it is.
Hard. So I used to teach Cuban style salsa for quite a while, so I was sort of I was all right at it. But yeah, it's funny, when I first started, the music is so busy, there's so much percussion, so it's quite hard, like you say, to get the beat and get the rhythm. So that was kind of one of the biggest challenges I kind of found. But yeah, I was just like, I thought I'm going to ask that because I was just curious, just one of my many weird hobbies.
British people just we don't have it in our blood the way that the Cubans and the Latin American people do. It's like they're born, they just know how to move and how to do it. But
it's so natural to them. It's just
takes some training.
And there's the sort of the white British guy standing there trying to keep count. It's kind of like, it is a weird thing. But anyway, I digress. But I thought I had to ask that. Go, Chris, go for it.
No, I was just going to get Sophie's opinion on something that we have mentioned and comes up quite a lot, you know, within Fragcom. And we're seeing a trend at the moment for female YouTube fragrance reviewers talking about men's fragrances, reviewing men's fragrances. And in the last sort of 12 months or so, we've seen people just enter the YouTube space in that niche and just grow very, very quickly. I mean, they're all sexiest men's colognes and top 10. Now, I feel like you have much more of an emphasis on female marketed fragrances on your channel. Is that a conscious decision? And if so, why are you not going into that area of talking about men's fragrances? Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, I think I guess I don't get as excited by different men's fragrances, and I find that there's less, I'm probably wrong, but it feels like there's less variety. They tend to be sort of woody or spicy or like gourmandy, or whereas when I think about women's fragrances, like there seems to be so many different types. And I think my intention when I make a video is always to like demystify, to be right, you know, right, you've seen the advert, you've seen the bottle, you've seen what it says it smells like, so what does it actually smell like? And with women's ones, I just find that much more easier to describe, I guess, and you know, does it smell expensive or not? Whereas with men's, like I remember the David Beckham fragrance, which is like what, 10-15 pounds or something.
Yeah.
Smells great, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know? I wore that for quite a while. I liked that fragrance. Oh, I got compliments on that, to be honest. It was crazy.
Yeah, they did these gift sets at Christmas, and they sold out straight away when I was working in the perfume shop. So yeah, I haven't found that it gives me that feeling of wanting to demystify as much as the women's area, like perfumes do.
So you just can't get as excited over it, so not as passionate, so you almost don't feel like you could give it enough passion and excitement in the video, maybe. Yeah,
and I tend to genuinely like most men's fragrances, whereas with women's, you know, I could have much stronger opinions. There's lots I don't like, there's lots I do.
Are you not tempted by some of that YouTube AdSense ka-ching that you could get by going into that sort of area? Because, I mean, this is why those channels are growing so fast, is because guys want the opinion of females on these fragrances. They would rather hear a girl say, yeah, this is a really sexy fragrance to wear on a night out than me saying it. So, I think that's why they're growing. So are you tempted, or are you sort of happy to leave them to it and you stick with your thing that you want to do, the direction that you're going?
Yeah, I think I've done a couple of videos on men's ones in the past, but I think if I think about my sort of regular viewers, I think they'd be less interested in that. So even if a video got lots of attention from that sort of group of men looking for a women's opinion, they probably would be less interested in all my other videos. So it would be quite a, I don't know,
I think, you know, you're doing really well in the lane that you're in, so you know, why not stick with that if that's where your passion is as well, because it's obviously working for you.
Yeah, I'm no good at talking about things I'm not passionate about.
Yeah, exactly. Good for you.
I think you've done well kind of sticking to sort of what you know and then doing it well. And it's like Chris said, it's working for you. While we're talking about that, I feel like I sort of should ask, I don't know, have you got any sort of particular favourites for men? Like if you, I don't know if there's a Mr. Soaky London or whatever, but if he wasn't into fragrance, what would maybe be one that you sort of bought him for Christmas maybe coming up that you think, oh, I really want him to smell like this?
I think the Prada Luna Rosa, actually, that you mentioned earlier, is probably my favourite for men, just the original Eau de Toilette that they brought out. Don't know why, I really like it. And Allure Homme Sport, that's the perfume my dad always wore, so it always reminds me of him.
Yeah, like that comforting thing, like isn't it?
I think the Armani Code ones are pretty good and very affordable. And I know that Terre de Hermes is super popular, and that was probably the one we sold the most of as well when I was in perfume shop. And I could always tell a Terre de Hermes customer, they were always really well dressed and they looked kind of professional, like they had a good job. And
that's interesting.
You thought, I know what you're going to ask for.
Yeah.
Whereas if someone came in more like sporty, like maybe a bit younger, sort of Nike, they'd ask for Creed Aventus.
Really?
Okay. So you got to the point where I could tell what they were going to ask for most of the time. Or people who are a bit more flamboyant tend to go Izzy Miyake, Lodizzy, Eau de Toilette. That one's so strong, so strong.
It's quite funny because I thought the sort of the perception would be that, again, well, I guess Creed Aventus is so... like everywhere, it's just but I thought it would be that a lot of people that were quite well to do, maybe well paid, would be geek. But I think it's become so
because of the price.
But I think it's but that is true actually. When I think about it, before I smelled Creed Aventus, the first times I smelled it, I sort of heard about it, was like quite a young girl, like early 20s, was going, oh, Aventus smells so good, I like it with my man. And her bloke was sort of quite a young guy, again, I don't think he was, you know, a high flyer, as it were. So I think it's so synonymous with being like the fragrance, or such a nice men's fragrance. I think people really aspire to it, so they really try to kind of to get it. It's
regardless of the cost.
Yeah.
Did many, when people came in asking for Aventus and you told them the price, did many people go, thanks a lot, see you later, I'm gone? Too much?
No, not really, but you can tell. I think women would tend to do that, but men, they'd try and mask it. I don't know if it's a sort of ego thing, but you can tell inside they're like, oh my god. I'm like, oh, okay. Just hand over the card.
Doesn't release his card out of his hand. He's just too reluctant.
If it's this magic formula that's gonna get me some female attention, then it's worth £300.
I
bet he's like reluctant. Then you're like, oh, it smells so good though. Oh, go on there. It's just
suckers. Yeah.
Cool. What else? I've got loads of questions here that I kind of wanted to ask you. Now I'm sort of jumping around. So I'm sort of trying to tick things off, really. But
right.
I guess we discussed your favourite fragrances, kind of how you got into YouTube. Oh, we've not discussed your actual website yet. So obviously you're sort of, that's relatively new, isn't it? The Soki London. So that's, in case people are wondering how we're spelling Soki, it's S-O-K-I. So hence from the Sophie King. So SokiLondon.com. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that then?
Yeah, I think essentially it's similar to my YouTube channel, but obviously written content. And I find like every year the imagery gets better and better from the different fragrance brands. And oftentimes, you know, I can't really show it all in a video. So I wanted to have a website where I could include a lot of the different images. And I've also started like making my own images and infographics as well, and putting them on Pinterest too. So things like a one pager with every different iteration of Miss Dior since it came out. I think there was about 30 different versions of it.
Wow.
Just getting them all on one page, you know, like a fact sheet. That I'm such a geek, so for me that's an interesting activity to do, and then to share with people. And just to write more detailed reviews really as well. So I've got about 50 articles on there at the moment. I'm trying to work on it and do a few a week, and just sort of go through ranges really, like I do on YouTube. And I guess it's more easily digestible for people as well if they're looking for a particular one in the range. And yeah, and just include lots of really nice imagery there as well, because sometimes that the branding and everything is half of the fun of the fragrance. For me,
I'm just on it now. I can imagine this, because the thing is, as much as obviously we're all advocates for YouTube, it's like sometimes when you're doing a cheeky bit of research, you might be on a train or I don't know, like having a little sneaky break in the office, so you can't watch a video and have audio. So actually, like in a written form or a written blog, if you're trying to sort of research what you're buying someone for Christmas or whatever, or the written format can actually kind of be in handy. So I can see you've done all the ranges. Again, this is kind of going to be really helpful for people. So I've just clicked on the Viva La Juicy perfume range. So yeah, you've listed all of the different ones, the main notes. Wow. And then if you actually
such a geek,
click through to them, so then you can actually kind of go through to decide where you are. Oh, wow. So yeah, this must be quite a lot of effort, to be fair.
It is a lot of effort, and creating a website is no easy task. I really had to teach myself about, you know, hosting websites and WordPress and templates and getting SSL certificates and all these technical things. Oh, and of course, the Google, how Google works and to recognize it, so lists it in Google and stuff. So it's been a lot of time, a huge amount of time actually, much more labor intensive than doing YouTube video to set up. So I think if anyone's looking for a new business idea, I think to just take all of that and make it simple would be easier for other people to set up a website, because it took me about a month just to get the infrastructure behind it all set up and running so that Google would recognize it as a legit website. It's quite dry work as well.
You always hear of Squarespace, don't you? There's a lot of sponsored videos on YouTube about Squarespace. That seems to be something that you can quite easily set up a website. I've never used it, so I'm not sure, but
yes, I think so. But to sort of do it from scratch and have it custom and unique is a lot of effort,
rather than it just being a set template that is offered. I get that.
Exactly, but that's all set up now, so I just need to keep writing it, and I still need to work on the homepage a bit. It's a bit ugly at the moment, but it's a labor of love.
Well done. I did a website years ago when I was doing stand-up comedy. I had like a sort of a page, and so I just used like a website where you could format it, and there's, you know, like sort of template-ish, and you can move it around. So rather than back in the day where you used to actually have to do coding and things, it was like mental. But it is just a lot of hard work. I'm a bit of a perfectionist as well, so I end up just tweaking things forever. So it's just so I admire.
Yeah, you can go down the rabbit hole for sure. Yeah,
definitely. So what another thing I was going to ask, I'm sorry if I'm jumping around a bit, but things keep kind of coming to mind. So obviously kind of, oh, that's my doorbell. That's a bit weird.
Someone's at the door, Steve.
Yeah, it's a bit late for that, isn't it?
Not that door just behind you now. Oh my God, don't turn around, Steve. Don't turn around.
God knows what that is. Anyway, what I was going to ask is, of course, it's totally threw me that has now. So obviously you've got the website, so kind of going forward, you're kind of doing that and you're expanding and you're hoping to sort of hit that 100,000 subscriber on YouTube. That's what I can imagine is your next kind of goal. As we sort of touched upon earlier, I've noticed you've never really done any sort of collaborations with other YouTubers or anything. Is that something you're interested in, or are you just happy kind of sticking to yourself? And as sort of Chris said, really, you sort of stick in your own lane, which I kind of admire, because you sort of stick to what you know and you do well, and it's working well for you. But then also there's the sort of flip side. I've spoken to other sort of successful YouTubers where you actually get people wanting to collaborate with you so they could sort of benefit from your subscriber base. So it's kind of a bit of a sort of sticky area. Like someone I was talking to, she was sort of saying like, no, she basically almost turns everybody down now because it's their intentions aren't always the best sort of thing. So I just wondered how you felt about that sort of side of things.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'm happy. I think I'm probably too overly critical of myself and assume that no one would like want to collaborate with me, because I talk so much about the designer mainstream, and I feel like so many YouTubers focus a lot on the niche, like the more oriental sense, and sort of look down on, you know, some of the fragrances that I like Jimmy Choo and you know, more run of the mill ones. So I guess I thought, I don't know, I just assumed people wouldn't want to, but yeah, I'd certainly be happy to. I'm not sure how many people there are in the UK, in London as well, I don't know.
Yeah. I think you're probably going to get inundated now once this goes out. They'll be like, Sophie's up for it. It's just going to get loads of emails.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, definitely.
Is the decision to focus mainly on mainstream design and fragrances on your channel, is that just because that's what you're interested in? You're less interested in the niche fragrances?
Yeah, I find a lot of the niche ones that I try I don't really like, because a lot of them do tend to be very oudy, which for whatever reason makes me feel quite queasy. I couldn't wear it, or spicy, and I'm just not into the oriental side of things. And I also see, I guess I see the fragrance, you know, designer fragrances as a bit of a mystery, where, you know, the price doesn't really correlate with the how good a product is and I think I enjoy that sort of detective work of, you know, how can you get this smell but for half the price, or, you know, why you shouldn't buy this one but get this one instead. And I think I enjoy sort of breaking down the L'Oreal and Procter & Gamble marketing and actually finding out what's actually there. Whereas, I think so. If there was a niche house that made loads of fragrances I love, then I'd be all over it. Like the Eden perfumes I really like. And they do all different dupes of different famous perfumes, but they also have some that, of their own, which I really love. It's just the way the cookies crumbled, really. It's not sort of intentional. It's just more correlating with what I like, because I'm just so bad at talking about stuff I don't like.
I'm just an open book. In terms of YouTube growth as well, designer fragrances are sort of where the views are. If I do a niche list, even if it's a list, top 10 niche fragrances, about half the amount of people will click on that than they will the equivalent top 10 designer fragrances. And these days, if you do a standalone niche fragrance review, then you might get a couple of thousand, but that's about it's not really what the majority of people out there want to see. So certainly what you're doing is definitely good for the growth, keeping a healthy channel.
I think we're sort of kindred spirits in that regard, though, because this is where my sort of nicknames or self-titled nickname, like the basic bitch, kind of come from. Because it's like there's a couple of my favorite fragrances of all time are actually niche, and I do dabble. I'm sort of on the outskirts of the more sort of approachable kind of niche ones, really. But yeah, typically I'm sort of more into the sort of simple. I just like it if it smells nice, really. I'm not necessarily one to, you know, it has to be really complicated. So I'm kind of like, if there's too much, if it's too oody, I'm not necessarily a big fan. But to kind of, this might be a tricky question, I don't know, but if you had to, what would you say is one of your favourite niche fragrances then? I think possibly I say you've done a few from the Parfum de Mali, and I guess the Fragrance de Boire and stuff, but is there any niche ones that you do like, or is your favourite maybe?
Would you class Floral Street as niche then?
Usually designer is they do something else as well as fragrances. They make
fashion,
clothes or makeup, fashion. I'm not sure about Floral Street, actually. I don't know if they're just fragrances or not.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
I would say niche. I'd say they're
niche. And they've only got one shop, I think, in Floral Street in Covent Garden. I really like them, and they have a fragrance called Wonderland Peony, which smells like Mist Your Blooming Bouquet, but it actually lasts and is half the price. So I love that. But they've just done a new sunflower one, Vincent van Gogh inspired, which is really nice, orangey perfume. They're really nice, and they're all vegan, cruelty free. And they're quite strong, so I've really been enjoying them. They've only popped up the past couple of years, but now they've gone. I think they've just got in John Lewis and Sephora in America as well.
Do you say they're half the price of a Dior fragrance?
They're amazing. But stronger, but better.
Wow, this is
exactly.
I might have to go in. And is it all female fragrances, or do they do unisex or men's?
They've only got about 10 now, I think. But they have just launched a load of home products as well with different scents in. And they've been really impressive as well. I've got the diffuser, and it must be at least 2 months old, and it still smells really strong. So I've been impressed. I think the lady that founded it used to work for maybe Estee Lauder or one of the massive companies. And she found it. She was in charge of MAC Cosmetics and made that into what it was, and Saint-Tropez, I think, as well, the fake tan. And then she sort of left and made this fragrance brand herself. And I guess she just knows what people like, because I think it's really good.
That sounds really great.
Yeah, sounds like a brand to look out for.
That's a good tip there. Thank you. Another sort of quick question on the back of that. What would you say are your favorite fragrance notes, or if you were looking at a fragrance and you saw like a note listed, is there one that you go, ooh, Like for me, yeah. Like I often say, like if I like mandarin is one of my favorites. I would sort of quite like a sort of orangey mandarin in a fragrance. So if I see that, I'll be like, ooh. But there's a few other things that I think, oh, I'm probably going to like that. So is there, if you're looking at, because for me, women's fragrances are my field. They're all kind of floral, and I was discussing recently with someone. Sometimes just because a note's listed, you know, two fragrances doesn't with the same notes can smell completely different. Yeah. It's completely balanced. But is there any sort of particular notes that you go, oh, I think that's going to be up my street?
Yeah, personally, I love pear in fragrances because it gives that fruitiness, but it's fresh. Mm. But it lasts better than a fresh citrus note. So I love anything with pear in. And I love any sort of strong berry notes like a cassis, a blackcurrant, or like a stronger raspberry, or you know, not like a super light raspberry, like a raspberry liqueur type scent. So Lancôme's Trésor Midnight Rose is one of my favorites for that. Strong, it's like a blackcurrant liqueur almost. It's really good. I'm really good for lasting. And I do tend to find that it's patchouli-based perfumes I like as well, which is really good because pretty much every new one these days has that. Yeah. So it's good times for me.
Yeah,
I love pear. I think it's really underused. And osmanthus as well, actually.
Yeah, that's a great note, osmanthus, yeah.
I don't think I could pick out osmanthus.
Osmanthus is in what I'm wearing right now, Parfum de Marly's Herod. It's a floral, but it gives like a fruity apricot profile.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really nice. It mixes well with the tobacco and the incense. Yeah, it's a good note.
And it's quite strong. Yeah.
Sophie, when you said pear, the one that I thought out, because I always really enjoy the pear note in it, is Coach for Men, the EDT. You might be worth you smelling that, because it's got a really like this lovely pear note in there.
Yep.
And it's not, I wouldn't say it's really, you know, really masculine, because quite comfortably women can wear it.
But
it
might be Ultramal, famous pear, Ultramal, big famous, piercingly sweet, but yeah, it's got a pear note. And also, actually, since you're in London, you might enjoy Gallivant fragrances. They're based in London. They're a little niche brand. Well, I say little. They're in quite a few shops around the world. But they've got one they released, I think it was last year, called Bukhara. And that is an orris and pear fragrance. And it's really nice. It smells natural and fresh. So you might like it, yeah. Not overly sweet either. Because sometimes pear can be that very, like in Ultramal, it's that sweet. It's like if you had a bit of candy or a sweet that was pear.
Almost borderline synthetic, can't it?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Whereas some fragrances have a very natural smelling pear, as if you've sliced a pear and you're just getting the scent from that freshly sliced pear. Yeah,
and a pear is so watery, you know, when you think about it, it's that feeling of freshness. Yeah.
Good, cool.
For sure, yeah.
I've realised, so Chris, if you want to think of any sort of, we're coming up on time, so if you want to think of anything you want to ask Sophie before we finish, because I'm just going to, perhaps this is, fuck this up a bit, because we totally forgot to do the coffees. I'm just going to shout somebody out. We had one, somebody bought us a coffee this week, so Jeremy did, so thank you for Jeremy. If you go to ko-fi.com/ascentgeeks, all one word, you can do that. I bet there's loads of people thinking, yes, we didn't have any of that fucking coffee bullshit, but no, we're here. So Jeremy did that. He bought us a coffee. Shout out to Jeremy. He just said, I've been watching you guys long before you ever started the show, but only recently got into podcasts at all. The first episode I heard was episode 93 with George, and I've been hooked since. I've since started listening from the beginning. Anyway, no question here, just a friendly donation. So thank you, Jeremy. Really appreciate that. Much love to you.
Thank you very much.
Right, have we got any kind of last minute things that we want to ask Sophie while we've got her? I feel like as soon as we stop recording, I'm going to be like, damn it, I knew I should have asked her that.
I was just going to say, you know, Steve and I talk quite a bit about how much time we spend creating content for YouTube, that the more time we do that, the less time we have to watch YouTube. So do you watch much YouTube? Do you watch much fragrance YouTube? Or do you find that, you know, you struggle for the time?
Yeah, it is difficult to find time to just sit and watch. I'm more someone that puts it on my iPad while I'm doing something else, maybe, like multitasking.
I do that with that's podcasts for me. I do that with
Because
most fragrance videos, you don't have to watch anywhere. You can just listen to. So you could just have it on and hear it without seeing it. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I do love some of the campaign videos and imagery as well that you get when there's a new release out. I like watching them to sort of get the feel of it before you smell it.
I quite like your sort of process, because you said you like the sort of detective work, so you kind of like to sort of watch that marketing and but then try and break that down and get behind it and see what it's really about and, you know, what else it smells like. So it's quite an interesting kind of approach you've got towards it. So it's, I'm quite intrigued by that. Right, so I need to kind of sign us off, and Chris is going to tell everybody about our Instagram giveaway. So before we kind of do that, is there anything you want to say, Sophie, if you want to kind of thank your watchers or shout anything out? Obviously we've mentioned your website, but is there anything you want to kind of, well, you've got this format that some people might listen to, is there anything you want to say?
No, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it. I have a question for you guys. So what fragrance are you going to be wearing on Christmas Day?
Good question.
I haven't decided yet. Gosh.
Be an impulse decision, I guess, on the day.
It's been a bit of the ones I mentioned earlier, actually, that I've been wearing this week of my sort of Christmassy ones. So I remember last year I did actually wear Spice Bomb EDT on Christmas Day, and I have worn Hafez 1984 on Christmas Day as well. It's that sort of spicy sweetness kind of reminds me of Christmas, really. I think you get that with Aujon from Parfum de Mali. The cinnamon in there kind of gives that vibe, and Killian's Angel Share. So I will probably, I'm thinking I probably will go for Hafez 1984. It's almost becoming a bit sort of traditional. But I just always forget how good that fragrance is. It's crazy.
It's great. It's so good. Yeah. Well, I haven't fully decided, so I'm not going to put this down in writing for you, Sophie, and sign it. But a fragrance that I love wearing at Christmas time is a by Killian fragrance. It's Black Phantom, which is rum, coffee, vanilla, so very sweet, gourmand, dessert-like fragrance. But I first discovered it around Christmas time. I do remember wearing it a few years ago around Christmas, and ever since then it's always reminded me of Christmas, and with it being sweet and indulgent, I think it's a good one for Christmas. So that's a strong contender. It will be that, I don't know. I might discover something else in the next couple of weeks that I choose.
Chris is covering himself, because I'm sure there's going to be a Christmas fragrance video that comes out. So
massive haul. Yeah.
What about you, Sophie? We've got to return the question now. Have you got anything in mind that you might wear for Christmas Day?
Yeah, I think I'll wear the new Armani C Intense. It came out about this time last year, and I wore it on Christmas Day last year, and I like it. It's nice and intense. It's got lots of cassis in, my favourite. So it feels very wintry.
Oh, I meant to mention as well, Sophie, the first time I knew about you and your channel was when we both did the essential blind sniffing test. Which was great fun. I love doing that. When they asked me, they said, do you want to do it this year? I'm like, hell yeah. Yeah. It's so much fun trying to work out what type of fragrances they are and maybe what brand they are as well. It was fun.
Off the back of that I discovered Mongolan Intense, Chris, because that's one of the ones in that list loved.
Yeah. You the first like, year I did it, it was in, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, do you enjoy doing that, the blind
Yeah, surfing? I still get the boxes every month, actually. Cool. So it's quite fun to see what they're going to be. It's a great idea, I think. Something to look forward to every month as well.
Yeah, it's good. Mm. Yeah, they're great, great people as well over there at Essential.
Yeah, they are.
Cool, right. We better wrap
this thing
up.
Shall I tell people how to do the Instagram giveaway, Steve, before you remember.
Yeah, please.
So, as you know, sponsored by Kajal, and they provide us with prizes every month. You can either win a full free bottle or you can win a discovery set. If you want to be in with a chance to win either of those two great prizes, all you got to do is go to Kajal's Instagram page, find the Scent Geeks post, share that, do all the things that it tells you to do on their Instagram post, and you are in with a chance, and we will shout out the winners at the end of each month. And if you do win, just drop us a note and let us know what you think of your prize.
Yes.
So that's it from me. So I'm going to sign off and say goodbye, geeks, and I'll be here for you next week.
Brilliant. Thank you, Sophie, so much for doing this. We really appreciate it. We might get some people back at some point. So we'd love it if you could do that. We'll let you know.
Thanks for coming in, Sophie. It's been really appreciate it. Good to chat.
Other than that, it leaves me nothing more to say. Then thank you, everybody. Thank you for all of your kind of reaching out to us through the Facebook group, the Ko-fis, the sort of personal Instagrams, and everything like that. We do really appreciate it. Do keep sending that content in. Ask us the questions, because it does just helps us and means we don't have to think of stuff to talk about. And also, don't forget your fragrance fails and things like that. We love that. If you've got any scent memories, fragrance fails, any lovely stories related to scent or perfume or fragrance, please tell us about those, because we love hearing about them. Other than that, I have nothing more to say than to thank Chris, thank Sophie, and thank you all for listening. And yeah, have a week, geeks.
Bye.
Bye.